Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY25 post-results conference call of Fortis Healthcare Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anurag Kalra, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations at Fortis Healthcare Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. A very good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Fortis Healthcare's Q1 FY25 earnings call. The call is being chaired by our MD and CEO, Dr. Ashutosh Raghuvanshi. With him, we have our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vivek Goyal. From the Agilus side, we have Mr. Anand, the CEO, and Mr. Mangesh Shirodkar, the Chief Financial Officer. We'll start with some opening comments by Dr. Raghuvanshi on the results and the business performance, followed by which Anand will take you through some of the key highlights of the diagnostics business, and then we can open the floor for questions and answers. Over to Dr. Raghuvanshi.
Thank you, Anurag. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well, and you have taken time to join us on our Q1 financial year 25 earnings call today. I'll dive right into the quarterly results and share my thoughts on the business performance and our path forward. Our performance in Q1 financial year 25 has been impressive, showing a significant improvement over the previous year. In fact, this achievement has been driven by strong performance of our hospital business. We reported a consolidated top-line figure of INR 1,859 crores, a growth of 12.2% over Q1 of financial year 24. Noticeably, our hospital business revenues have grown 14.4% to INR 1,549 crores, while the diagnostic business revenues stayed on par with previous year at INR 343 crores. Our consolidated operating EBITDA saw an uptick of 25.5%, reaching INR 343 crores, yielding a margin of 18.4% versus 16.5% in Q1 of financial year 24. The hospital business operating EBITDA was INR 287 crores, resulting in improvement in margins by a strong 330 basis points, from 15.2% in Q1 of financial year 24 to 18.5% in Q1 of financial year 25. The hospital business EBITDA now accounts for 84% of total consolidated EBITDA, up from 75% in Q1 of financial year 24, indicating strong profitable growth in this segment. In eight of our facilities, we have recorded operating EBITDA margin above 20% during the first quarter. These eight facilities contributed 69% of the hospital revenue compared to 62% in financial year 24. Operating EBITDA margin in the diagnostic business basis gross revenues were at 16.1%, vis-à-vis 19.4% in Q1 of financial year 24. The operating margins were 18.7% after factoring the impact of one-offs related primarily to the rebranding exercise undertaken by Agilus for the brand change and the provisions pertaining to certain government business. On a like-for-like basis, the adjusted operating margins were 20.8% in Q1 of financial year 24 and 15.9% in Q4 of financial year 24. Our consolidated reported profit after tax for the quarter increased 40.4% to INR 174 crores. Coming to the balance sheet side, we remain quite healthy, with a net debt to EBITDA of 0.22x as on June 30th, 2024. as against 0.35x on June 30th, 2023. This is Q1 annualized EBITDA. Our net debt stands at INR 308 crores as on June 30, 2024. Generally, Q1 is a relatively softer quarter. However, our hospital occupancy improved to 67% compared to 64% in Q1 of financial year 24. This translates into occupied beds increasing by 4.6% to 2,715 compared to 2,595 in Q1 of financial year 24. Our hospital business saw a 9.7% increase in ARPOB, reaching INR 2.41 crores per annum. This growth was largely fueled by revenue gains in our key specialty areas, oncology, neurosurgery, cardiac sciences, orthopedics, gastroenterology, and renal sciences. Collectively, these specialties achieved a 15.7% year-on-year growth and contributed 63% of the total hospital revenues, which is on the similar lines as Q1 of financial year 24. Specifically, growth in neurosciences at 23% and oncology at 22% was quite encouraging. This is also reflected in the number of procedures performed in neurosciences that reported a growth of 23% compared to the corresponding previous period. While the number of robotic surgeries performed increased by a strong 59% compared to Q1 of financial year 24. Our revenues from medical travel grew 11% compared to quarter 1 of financial year 24 to reach INR 127 crores. Revenue contribution of international business stood at approximately 8% in Q1 of financial year 25, similar to Q1 of financial year 24. Most of our key facilities performed well during the quarter, with revenues for Mulund, Anandpur, BG Road, Shalimar Bagh and Amritsar each growing in excess of 20% compared to the corresponding previous period. During the quarter, we further strengthened our medical talent with onboarding of specialists in the area of cardiac sciences, neurology, orthopedics, obstetrics and gynecology, and ophthalmology. I'm excited to share that our commitment towards augmenting our medical programs has made notable strides in advancing our strategic growth initiatives. Marked by brownfield bed expansion and continuous investment in the state-of-art medical equipment. Recently, Fortis Nagar Bhavi, that was previously a 50-bedded facility, expanded to 80-bed multi-speciality tertiary care facility in a significant upgrade that included introduction of 24/7 emergency and trauma care, ICU and critical care. I am pleased to announce that FMRI Gurgaon introduced South Asia's first gamma knife ESPRIT radiosurgery equipment for neurosurgical treatment that employs non-surgical computer-guided precision to target brain tumors, both malignant and benign. We are progressing well on our brownfield expansion plan for this year and will be adding capacities across our key facilities including Faridabad, Anandpur, Shalimar Bagh and Noida. In addition, we expect the 350-bed Manesar facility that we acquired in financial year 24 to be operational in the ongoing quarter. I would like to touch upon our continued effort and the resulting success of our digitization efforts as well. We have successfully implemented electronic medical records for OP modules across 6 of our units now, while the application and deployment of IP module is underway. Revenues from digital channels continue to demonstrate robust growth. Revenues from website, mobile applications, and digital campaigns witness a 52% year-over-year growth and 17% quarter-on-quarter growth in Q1 of financial year 25. Revenues from digital channels contributed almost 30% to overall hospital revenues versus 23% in Q1 of financial year 24. On our diagnostic side, the business reported gross revenues of INR 343.5 crore versus INR 342.7 crore in Q1 of financial year 24 and INR 338.4 crore in Q4 of financial year 24. Our operating EBITDA margins versus gross revenues were at 16.1% compared to 19.4% in Q1 of financial year 24. Operating EBITDA margins versus gross revenue in Q1 financial year 25 were better than the trailing quarter margins of 14%, primarily driven by cost optimization initiatives, including, amongst others, improved network efficiency and reduction in manpower costs. Continuing with our network expansion strategy, primarily the addition of new customer touchpoints, total CTPs as on 30th June 24 stood at 4,055. The preventive portfolio revenue in Agilus overall revenues grew 13% in Q1 financial year 25 and contributed 12% to the operating revenues versus 10% in the Q1 of financial year 24. The diagnostic business performance is still adjusting to the impact of Agilus rebranding exercise, which involved extensive rebranding efforts and associated marketing costs. Additionally, certain provisions related to government business have also affected the performance. That said, I'm confident in Agilus' potential to scale up both in terms of its revenue and margins based on its considerable network presence, a balanced B2C, B2B mix, and the increased focus on preventive care and specialized testing. To also add, I do believe that the Agilus brand is being well accepted and gaining recognition. This would place the company in a better position to further scale up performance. With this, I'll conclude my comments. I think it's been a healthy start for the fiscal year 2025. We are making significant progress on the growth at all possible fronts. We will also continue to explore and assess various growth opportunities that align with our cluster strategy and offer promising synergies. I believe these initiatives will further enhance our growth potential and strengthen our position in the healthcare sector. Thank you, and I will hand over now to Mr. Anand for his comments on the diagnostic business now.
Thank you, Dr. Raghuvanshi. A very good morning and good afternoon to everyone on the call. Thank you for joining us today. On behalf of Agilus Diagnostics, I warmly welcome you all to our Q1 FY25 results conference call. Agilus Diagnostics reported a revenue of INR 343.5 crores in Q1 of FY25 compared to INR 342.7 crores in Q1 of FY24. Q4 of FY24, revenues stood at INR 338.4 crores. During this quarter, Agilus conducted 9.92 million tests compared to 9.95 million tests in Q1 of FY24 and 9.61 million tests in Q4 of FY24. Operating EBITDA for the quarter stands at INR 55 crores compared to INR 66 crores in Q1 of FY24 and INR 47 crores in Q4 of FY24. Operating EBITDA before one-off expenses is INR 64 crores compared to INR 71 crores in Q1 of FY24 and INR 54 crores in Q4 of FY24 of the previous quarter. During the quarter, we incurred one-time expenses of around 9 crores, primarily in relation to Agilus rebranding and the provisioning pertaining to certain government contracts. Our average realization per test for Q1 of FY25 is INR 340 and per patient revenue is INR 845. The business continues to benefit from a well-diversified geographical mix with no overdependence on any particular region, allowing us to capitalize on our pan-India network optimally. Regional revenue contributions are 32% for North, 21% from West, 30% from South, and 14% from East, and 3% from international markets. Our B2C-B2B ratio is currently at 54-46. Our wellness portfolio increased by 13% in Q1 of FY25 compared to Q1 of FY24 and 3% compared to Q4 of FY24. Our genomics portfolio also showed strong growth in Q1 of FY25 with 12% growth compared to the previous year and 13% growth compared to the previous quarter. From a product standpoint, revenue contributions are 34% from specialized testing, 54% from routine tests, and 12% from our wellness portfolio. During this quarter, we expanded our network by adding over 185 new centers and 3 hospital labs. Post a successful brand transition in the previous year, we are sustaining our brand awareness campaigns through digital platforms and various other ATL models. We aim to enhance our reach within the medical community through a range of initiatives, including continuing medical education programs, sponsored events, in-clinic visual merchandise, and scientific literature. Continuing our partnership with the Indian Olympic Association, Agilus Diagnostics is the official lab partner for the ongoing Paris Olympics 2024. On the clinical side, we continue to invest in new tests and technologies with a special focus on genomics. We are witnessing consistent, healthy growth in this segment, and one of our goals is to continually build on this portfolio. As an organization, we are consolidating to boost efficiency, strategically focusing on key cities to establish leadership, and enhancing the customer experience to build loyalty to the new brand. Thank you, and over to you, Anurag.
Thank you, Anand. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall now open the floor for question and answer. May I request the moderator to begin, please?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Hardik Doshi from White Whale Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. If I see your presentation, our overall occupancy on a sequential basis has improved from 66% to 67%. Our ARPOB also on a sequential basis has improved quite heavily. But even then, when I look at the operating EBITDA margin, they're down from 22.4% to 18.5%. I understand there were some one-offs in Q4, but even adjusted for that, I think Q4 margins were 21%. So it's still a pretty meaningful decline. So any kind of one-offs in Q1 or any investments that you made, what was the reason for this drop in margins?
Yeah, if I can take this question, Vivek this side. Yeah, you are absolutely right. There are certain one-off in the quarter four, and if you adjust that one-off, it is around 21% EBITDA margin. So there are a couple of reasons for drop in the EBITDA margin. One is, of course, there is certain one-off in the current quarter also. So there is around 0.5% EBITDA improvement, I am talking hospital business alone, which has 0.5% cost has been absorbed in this 18.5, which is non-operational in nature. One of the cost is we have to increase the price capital for converting some of our debt in one of our subsidiary company. And then there is certain GST-related liability on some corporate guarantee earlier company has given. And there is a higher provision for bad and doubtful debt because of the lower collection in this first quarter. Typically, first quarter, the collection is lower, and as a result, the provision for bad and doubtful debt goes up. So this takes care of 0.6% of the EBITDA margin thing. So the balance 2% EBITDA margin drop is attributed mainly to, the specialty mix. In this quarter, as Dr. Govansi has mentioned earlier, there is a higher share of ortho and onco, and the surgical mix has also gone up. Here, the EBITDA margin, gross contribution margin is lower, and the doctor's share is generally on the higher side. So these are the main reason for, the EBITDA drop.
Okay. So then how does this, kind of change your outlook for the full year margins that you've guided to?
So first quarter, we have targeted around 19% EBITDA margin, and we are around that level. So we are well on track for our EBITDA margin improvement guidance, which we have given earlier.
Okay. Understood. The second question, if I look at your hospital margin matrix, for full year FY24, I think there were five hospitals that were less than 10% margin, which accounts for 8% of revenues. But now that is seven hospitals now accounting for 17.5%. So which were these two kind of facilities where margins might have kind of fallen? And again, is this transitory, or I mean, are there any issues that you're facing here?
So there's no specific hospital where one is, of course, the FEHI hospital. This quarter, the EBITDA margin is lower than the previous quarter, and that has fallen to the lower category. And another hospital which is in this category actually is C.H. Road, which is a smaller hospital in Bangalore. And there, again, because these are mainly heart-related institutes, and the first quarter generally includes the increment-related cost, and these hospitals are unable to pass on those costs in terms of price increase. And that is the reason the EBITDA margin is lower in these two hospitals. But we are taking other initiatives through which we will be able to bounce both these hospitals back. Other hospital has performed relatively okay.
Okay. And then just moving on to Agilus, I think we had gotten an extension from our private equity players where maybe, I think, August was the deadline to kind of come up with some kind of resolution, or they have the put option. Any update in terms of the IPO plans or a sale or anything to provide an update there?
Yeah. So you are right. There was a deadline type of date of 13th August. So we have already started the process of going ahead as per agreement because IPO process not looking like we will be able to start immediately. And in that backdrop, we have appointed one valuer for doing the put option valuation as per the agreement, and we got the valuation now. And I think we are at the final stage of getting the maybe notice from the private equity investor for exercising the put. So we are at that juncture at present.
And so then, since you've gotten the input from the valuer, I mean, what would be the kind of cash that we'd have to shell out to buy out the stake?
Yeah. So valuation of 31% stake of private equity is coming around 1,780 crore as per this independent valuer. So we have committed the facilities available to fund this type of acquisition. So from the funding perspective, it will not be a challenge. From the leverage perspective also, we are still very comfortable position. Our debt EBITDA will be around 1.5x post taking this additional debt to this put option. And we will continue to do our CapEx as per our original plan, and we will continue to look for new acquisition opportunities as per our original plan. So this will not hamper our growth perspective in the hospital business. This put option, we feel this is maybe the right approach right now to acquire this stake and then work on Agilus to improve the profitability of Agilus and look at the other alternative for Agilus maybe at the future point of time.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. So what would be the timelines for completion of the acquisition of the PE stake in Agilus? Would this be done this year, or this could require some approvals, etc.?
Yeah. So Neha, the timeline, as I mentioned, is by 13th August, we are expecting put option notice from the PE investor. Post serving of the notice, there is a 65-day time to fund this
transaction. So that during this period, we will be seeking shareholder approval because we may be raising debt in the form of FPI, which is listed debt. So there will be requirement to take the shareholder approval for that. And plus some sort of SPA we have to enter with the private equity investor, share purchase agreement basically. So those for that also we'll be requiring shareholder approval. There will be maybe we are checking with our lawyer. There may be requirement of CCI approval also for acquiring this stake. So that we will be taking.
Understood.
So all those formalities need to be completed within this 60 days period.
Okay. And the remaining stake in Agilus, what about that?
So there is no immediate plan for that remaining stake. That will remain like, they will remain, the other shareholder will remain like a minority shareholder there. We will hold around 88% plus shareholding in Agilus post this acquisition.
Got it. Just continuing on Agilus, I know we've been commenting on growth trends improving, but we aren't really seeing anything, or at least on the volume side in terms of growth coming back. What gives us the confidence of growth? When should we start seeing that in numbers? And, what are our internal guidelines when we think about revenue growth of this business? Historically, we've indicated in line with industry, but when do we eventually get there?
Neha, this is Anand here. So we have, after the brand transition, we have seen some, degrowth basically in some segments, especially those segments that are directly related to the customer revenues in the B2C segment. So those segments we are now catching up after we have started spending on the brand and, we have started doing the process of rebranding from the middle of next previous year. So from that time, we have seen, whatever the, degrowth we had in those segments, they are all coming back to normal. So we are expecting that through this year, we will be able to consolidate and get back on track in terms of our growth expectations.
Sorry, sir, I missed the last part. You said consolidate this year, right?
And we expect to be back on track in terms of growth expectations.
So probably get to industry growth next year?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Last on the litigation, High Court litigation, I think we had the hearing last month. Any incremental update post the hearing?
Yeah, no, the hearing I think has been completed as far as the banks, waters, etc. are concerned. We believe that the next hearing is due, which where the relegator would be heard. That, in our belief, is the last party to be heard. So I would say that it appears that at least hearings are likely to conclude very soon.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amay from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So I have first question on the Agilus. So there has been underperformance for in this segment for last few quarters. So is this underperformance across the region, or do you see that any specific region where the decline has been substantial, which is dragging down the overall performance?
We did the brand change around the end of first quarter last year. So the maximum impact will be seen in this particular quarter. But as we saw that, the trailing quarters, the Q2, Q3 and Q4 of last year also were impacted by the brand change. And we've been seeing some drop in the business. And as I told earlier, the drop has been primarily on the B2C side of the business, which is directly impacted by the brand change. And those segments, we are now, getting them back on track since we have started spending more on the brand and also creating more brand awareness through various activities. So that's how we are bringing it back on track.
When we see the B2C business, I believe it will be still the prescription generation for the diagnostic test will be still through doctors, right? So it is basically doctors who might not be aware about the new brand name, basically. The activity would be basically our field force going to the doctors and to making them aware, right, about the new brand. Is it how it will work, or what else would be we need to understand on this?
So in our B2C business, about 60% is driven by doctors, 40% is driven by self prescriptions. So the patients come by themselves. So the prescription part is not difficult, because all the doctors are now aware of this change, and that is not an issue. The issue is more about patients who are walking into our centers. So as you know, it's mostly these diagnostic spends are out of pocket, and you know, they're not, even though the doctors direct them, mostly the patients have their own choice as well in terms of where they go. So that's where you know, we have been impacted to some extent in that business. So that we are bringing it back on track.
Sure. So, second question I have, in the hospitals where we are seeing a good sequential growth for FMRI and the Mohali, if you can highlight what are the drivers for this growth for these two hospitals and the outlook for these two hospitals for the full year.
Yeah. So, there are growth in these hospitals. Mohali, we have added around 30 beds last year. So, those beds we able to fill, and, you know, there is some growth in the ortho business also there, and same so their occupancy level has gone up basically with the enhanced bed capacity. And in fMRI, actually we are full in terms of occupancy. We are operating at 75% plus occupancy in fMRI, and we have added certain new clinical talent, especially in ortho side.
Onco and cardiac
science. So that has led to, you know, filling up the bed faster. So this hospital is now operating at 75% plus occupancy level, and we are trying to expedite our expansion program to the extent possible, so that we may accommodate more patients there. So these are the two main reasons for higher profitability in this.
Sure. So Mohali might see continuous increase basically, but fMRI, till the expansion, the increase will be driven by largely the case mix and the price rise basically. Because
yes, so there are saturated. Yeah, there are two phases of expansion in fMRI, which is, one is the brownfield expansion, which we have been talking about for quite some time. So there the physical construction is actually happening, and the civil part should be over by the end of this year, and then in next 6 months we should commission those beds. So obviously that will give the major flip, but in the interim, within the existing structure, we are adding few beds. So we will be getting about 21 beds in the interim, which we should hopefully get by the month of November. So that would be another kicker as well.
Sure, sure. And the last question I have is a bit general. Basically, when the hospital chain is as large as Fortis with more than 25 hospitals in the portfolio, there would be some or other assets where the patient dissatisfaction can increase because of several issues like the pricing or things not going well. So how does the management at the top would be keeping aware of these things, and what steps one can take to correct the recourse in such facilities? And in terms of our experience, have we experienced such things, and what steps we have taken, and how has been the outcome? Thank you.
Yes, but you know, like any other consumer industry which is spread across multiple locations, you know, service industry, we would definitely be having situations where there would be either complaints in the service, or there could be, you know, issues regarding the billing, etc., as you mentioned. So we have a very robust system in place. There are two things which we monitor, which is the NPS, which we monitor on a regular basis, which is given by the patients once they are discharged from the hospital. That gives us a general pulse of what is happening around this network. But we also have an internal system of monitoring events wherever there is any grievance in a hospital, etc. And there are many times when the patients who directly connect with the corporate patient experience team and sometimes directly with our officials, including me. That's how it gets addressed. So there is a mechanism at the unit level, and then there is a mechanism at the corporate level to deal with these kind of issues and problems so that we can address them with some speed.
And are there any benchmarks that in terms of every operational aspect of the hospital, let's say cleaning or let's say outcome of some cases, etc. Are there any benchmarks set so that our hospitals are so that the service is at par across the hospitals basically?
Yeah, so as far as clinical governance is concerned, we have a very robust mechanism. Every hospital is NABH accredited. Because of that, there are certain parameters of outcomes which have to be reported. So we collect those. Our central medical services and operations group has a separate quality division which looks at those. We also have additionally started reporting some of the outcomes in major cardiac procedures, etc., which will be available on our website. We are in the process of sort of making this system even more robust so that we can do an open reporting to which patients have access as well in terms of outcome. As far as the infrastructure related monitoring is concerned of say the cleanliness, security level and all other aspects, for that, we have a separate internal mechanism by which we monitor. So we have a central team which does an audit every quarter of each and every unit.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That was quite elaborative. Thank you so much. I will go ahead with it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bino Patiparavir from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I had a doubt on the Agilus EBITDA margin numbers. The reported EBITDA is 55 crore, and in your footnotes, you have mentioned that you have taken a 19 crore write-off related to Mohalla Clinic. So if I add that, it becomes 74 crore EBITDA. But still you say that excluding one-off, the EBITDA was only 64 crore. What am I missing here?
No, so operating, operating EBITDA for the diagnostic business is 64 crores after accounting for that 8.8%. So you add that back, then it becomes an operating EBITDA about 18.7%, which is there in slide 16 of our presentation.
No, that
is... 8.8 crores is primarily rebranding expenses and some other additional provisions for write-off of the Mohalla Clinic business.
Sorry, I think you didn't get my question. In the footnotes to your financial statements, it is said that in this quarter, 19 crores of write-off was taken related to Mohalla Clinics. Am I correct there?
No, the 19 crores is the total provision till date of Mohalla Clinic since the beginning. For this quarter, we had taken around 2.5 crore of provision for Mohalla Clinic.
Okay, understood. I think the wording is a little confusing there. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nancy Yadav from Allegro Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Could you please shed some light on the Ind AS 116 impact on our numbers for this quarter?
Do you have some? Hospital money. Yeah, there is hardly any NDS impact on the hospital business. Mangi is just putting out, the numbers for the diagnostic business.
Sorry, sir, I didn't get you.
So what I'm saying, in hospital business, there is hardly any impact on the of the 116, NDS 116. Diagnostic business, we have certain lease arrangement. For that, Mangesh is just pulling the numbers. Just wait for a minute.
Sure.
Or we can send you separately if it is okay with you.
Nancy, we can share offline those numbers with you related to the diagnostic business.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Ms. Yadav, does that answer your question? Hello?
Yeah. We will connect offline and give the information so you can move to the next question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Kapadia from Sundaram Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. If you look at the payer mix, there has been increase in the scheme patient both CGHS and ECHS. So how should we look at the mix of the scheme patient going ahead with the new beds getting added over next 6 to 9 months?
Yeah, so there is a little bit increase in the payer mix in some of our hospital, and as a result, overall basis also, there is an increase in the scheme business. Although we have targeted a slight reduction in the scheme business, so we are working on this particular matrix, and hopefully we will be able to correct it in the coming quarter, and that should lead to some improvement in the profitability margins.
Okay, but new beds addition will not lead to higher scheme patients?
So new bed addition is coming in Faridabad and Manesar also. So there, of course, there will be some impact, but wherever possible, like in NCR, most of our hospitals, we are operating at a different occupancy level. So there, we may try to correct this matrix a little bit more, better.
Okay, got it. And do you see any impact on the international patients because of the Bangladesh situation?
There is some impact because of the recent development in Bangladesh, as well as Israel and other countries' fight is going on. But I think the impact may not be material, looking at our patient flow from these countries.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is with regards to the Manesar operating cost. So the 18% margin what you have in the hospital business, does that also, was there an impact of the clinical trial and cost and other overheads of the Manesar facility, or you are currently capitalizing that cost?
So the Manesar has yet to be operationalized. So till operationalization, whatever expenditure we are incurring, whether it is the administrative cost, administrative staff, plus some clinical talent we have added, so that cost is right now getting capitalized. But as Dr. Govansi said, we are in the final stage of opening that hospital. Post that, it will be coming as a loss to the P&L.
Sure. And with that operation cost, you're guiding for close to 19% margin for the full year.
Not really. Okay. Not. You are saying, so talking about consolidated margin of the hospital business?
Yes, sir.
So consolidated margin for the full hospital business, we have guided 20% plus EBITDA margin, and we are well on track of that.
Okay. Understood. Okay. So my second question was pertaining to the promotion or the marketing on the rebranding side of Agilus. So, how should we see this cost, in this particular fiscal? Because I think compared to last year, it's gone up a bit. But for the full year, any color on how the margins either on Agilus would look like?
So we have planned to spend around 50 crores this year for the rebranding expenses. So that will be the one-off cost for this year. So apart from that, you know, we'll be doing our regular other marketing and other regular activities as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Adrit Chaturvedi from Nomura India. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Yes, please.
Yeah, I would just like to understand the revenue mix on Agilus. So you said roughly flat. So I believe that tests per patients are sort of rising. So less patients are coming. You're just selling more tests to them. And when I view that in the revenue mix where wellness testing, that's essentially bundled, that's gone up 2% share. So I believe that that's translating to a lesser realization per test because you're charging lesser for the individual test in the bundle than you would if you would sell them separately. So since there is a drive to increase wellness share, shall we come to expect that as you grow this product mix, realizations per test would sort of not increase, or would you look to offset that by more specialized testing?
No, actually, see, what is happening is currently when we want to promote directly to patients, so we opt for wellness as a source of, you know, promoting directly to the patients. When we do that, we also offer additional discounts. So during these times, we do some campaigns in the last quarter as well as this quarter. We are doing some campaigns around, you know, discounted packages. So naturally, that's having an impact. But, you know, those discounts will be, you know, not be available always. So that will not affect the overall as we move forward on the, you know, your average realization purchase.
Okay, so like the targeted increase will not have an impact. And so the specialized bit, so we've not been able to increase a lot of the share there. However, that is a priority. So could we come to expect that as wellness share increases and you reduce the discounts there and the any ancillary products, and specialized keeps increasing, could there be like a guidance on how realizations per test would move? Because you're suggesting that they would significantly improve.
Yes. If you see, even on the specialized side, we are focused on next generation diagnostics. We are seeing in genomics portfolio, we are seeing a higher growth rate. So that is also we are focusing on. That will also help us build the, you know, as we tie up with more hospitals, more specialists. As we work with oncologists and all the new age specialties, our contribution from this part of the revenue will also go up.
So very quickly on that. So I believe most of the specialized is going to be driven by the pickup business, the B2B business, going forward.
Specialized tests are usually driven by hospitals and you know other segments that outsource tests to us. So it will be a pickup business, yes.
Okay, and just on the hospital business, so you've seen even a sequential increase in occupied beds and occupancy both, and generally Q4 is very strong for occupancies, and it was also earlier like referenced in the call that the institutional share has sort of increased, so I believe that a lot of the footfall has actually come on the institutional bed side, so I'm just wondering that this kind of a strategy that to drive up occupancies and then to drive up these OBDs, you sort of increase the institutional bed share. How is that going to affect EBITDA per bed? Because realizations are going to be lower and margins are going to be lower. So is that a decent strategy when you have two options where you can increase occupancy and sort of have a lower EBITDA per bed, or you can just keep occupancies lower and have a higher EBITDA per bed? Is there like a strategic direction there?
So if I can answer this question differently, you know, first of all, the payer mix has not deteriorated that much. If you see, it is almost like flat. There is a little bit increase in the scheme business by 0.5%. And that is true when you are having expansion drive, like, you know, brownfield expansion. As you know, we are having a lot of brownfield expansion.
And on the marginal profitability point of view, this incremental occupancy, even if it is coming from the government payer, it is giving us a decent EBITDA margin because our fixed cost is fixed. So it is fixed cost is a portion on the higher base. Having said that, our endeavor is to reduce this government shares to the extent possible. As I mentioned, it is hospital-specific strategy. Wherever we are having higher occupancy and we are facing a challenge of filling the beds, we try to optimize there. But where we have a lower occupancy, there our endeavor is to fill the bed first and then look for this PMS things. I hope I able to answer your question.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to understand, that in your lower occupancy cluster hospitals, EBITDA per bed is not really a priority. It's more of like growth and revenue. And in your higher hospitals, you're sort of driving EBITDA per bed. Fine. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my first question is on the Manesar project. Can you how many beds would you be operationalizing at the start? And can you just outline how this could evolve over the next, say, 2 to 3 years? By when do you see maximum beds being operationalized here?
So Manesar, the facilities have a total capacity of around 350 beds. So we will be initially operationalizing around 100 beds. And once we reach a particular occupancy level, 100 beds, say 60-65% occupancy level, then we'll open up, the balance beds. So it will be gradual. And in our estimate, it will, if things go as per our plan, we will able to operationalize all 350 beds in a, say, 18 months period of time from now.
All right. And second question, again related to Manesar. So from a pricing perspective or from an ARPOB perspective, how can we benchmark this with, say, your FMRI? How much lower could it be versus that hospital when it starts? And then over a period of time, will it narrow or will it remain a slightly lower ARPOB hospital compared to FMRI?
Yeah, so FMRI is our rather flagship and a premium hospital where, we are not having any scheme business, lot of international patients are there. And the type of work we are doing there in terms of, the clinical work we are doing, that is a high-end work. So with that, I think the ARPOB of FMRI is the highest in our network actually. So we are not expecting that type of ARPOB. The ARPOB will be maybe 25-30% lower than FMRI.
Okay, and this is when it starts at the time of operation commissioning, or is this what it will grow to over a period of time? Is that 25%?
Yeah, it's at the start we are saying, and we will see how things pan out, and then accordingly we'll take a call on that.
Oh, all right. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashita Jain from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good day everyone. My first question is on the diagnostic business. So have you taken any price hikes in the diagnostic business in the last 6 to 8 months? And what's the impact of it if you have taken any?
So in fact, we have taken a small price increase in Q4 of around the end of Q4 of last year. That's only on the B2C business, on the walk-in business. Since our and also only in some of the segments that we have taken, so overall the impact is not very significant. As we also do some discounting on that business at this point of time for brand promotion. So as such, if you see overall compared to Q4, we have an improved performance in Q1.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is on the hospital margin matrix. So now we have 7 hospitals which are below 10% margin mark. Which are these hospitals and do we have plans to divest any of these? Also, you talked about some other initiatives to turn around these facilities. So could you please elaborate on the same?
Yeah, so these metrics we are sharing for quite some time. So there are usual candidate here, one is Fehi, Jaipur and Vasi. These are the three big hospitals which are part of this bucket. And we are taking all our, making a lot of efforts to improve this. Fehi, I have made a comment earlier because of, the annual increment thing they are not able to absorb. And we are working on the cost side of Fehi and, also improving, the revenue mix here. Because right now it is majorly a cardiac center. So we are trying to add other specialty. We are adding the clinical talent and other, the things there. We are working on the infrastructure improvement also there. We are spending a lot of money on the capex on this hospital. So hopefully the things will improve in Fehi with all these efforts. This quarter it has come down from 10% EBITDA margin able to achieve last quarter. There are other issues which are we are grappling with. There is as a result, the revenue has also fallen, and and the EBITDA margin has it has actually done gone into negative territory. Vasi is grappling with the competition around that area, and the state of the facility is not that great, and we are taking a lot of effort, but Vasi, as we said in the earlier call also, we are not able to crack anything there right now, and we are working to improve margins through increasing the occupancy by whatever means we can increase through the marketing sales initiatives and things like that. We have added one more hospital here in Ludhiana too, which is a new hospital we have added 6 months back. So it is early days for this hospital. Although I must admit this hospital has not performed the way we wanted to perform in the 6 months, but we are working on this.
Thank you. This is helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon and good morning. My question is, what has been the occupancy level so far since August? July is already passed and we are like 7th day of August. So if you can answer that.
Yeah, we will not be able to give you a specific number because it is price sensitive. But directionally, we are moving the bed. It is better than, the last quarter.
Okay. And any active inorganic opportunities which are in pipeline?
So there are a lot of opportunities we are exploring right now, but these things have not reached a stage which we can disclose. So we are working on that, and when we reach a particular stage, we will definitely come back to the market.
And since all the hearings in the courts are done, are you anticipating the legal cost to come down in next quarter?
Not really, because these are just a hearing has completed. I don't know what will be the reaction of Daiichi, whether they will appeal in the higher court and things like that. So as things pan out, and we have not come out from the wood completely, we are yet to receive the order. So all those things will determine the legal cost. So my estimate is legal cost will continue to be high in this year. And this has already been budgeted and accounted for when I have given various guidance on the EBITDA margin front.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anurag Kalra for closing comments.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. In case there are further clarifications or questions, my colleague Amit and I are available to address those either telephonically or by email. Thank you very much once again and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Fortress Healthcare, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.